not even 24 hours until you know exactly what your team is doing in the first round of the NFL draft. The last couple years, I've gotten to this point where we're within hours of all the pomp and circumstance this year in Detroit. I have a student in my class at Syracuse who is from Michigan, and they are thrilled, he says. He says at home, they're all excited to welcome the NFL draft. Another one of my students actually got credentialed through Syracuse. He is a grad student, and he'll be covering his first major event, and he's excited as well. He and three other students, I don't know if they won a lottery, if they had to apply through the program, but they have the honor of covering the draft. And so I told him, make sure you do your final project from Detroit, because the final project is a radio segment. You're on scene. You're on site. You're right there in the middle of the action. Make sure you take advantage of that. And so he told me that he would. It's a big deal. It's become a bigger deal over the course of the 25 years since I've been working in sports radio. Though I will say at the local level, when I worked in local radio, obviously the focus was much more myopic for the teams that I was covering in those individual markets. Now that I'm at the network level, say the last 15 years, it's astounding how much extra attention, how many extra credentialed media, how many fans consider this to be must-see TV or must-listen-to radio. We'll do our entire show, 98% of our show, tomorrow night on the NFL draft because it will carry the night. Didn't always play out that way, but now, kind of like the NFL schedule release, it is the crown jewel of this week in sports and one of the biggest events in the month of April every year. Of course, the move that the NFL made to put the first round of the draft in primetime on a Thursday night, huge. That was a seismic shift in how people consumed the draft. Plus, they end up separating this first round so it's its own event. They can spread out the picks. They can focus on any particular trades or moves. The war rooms get more coverage. The athletes get more coverage. It's a big buildup to pick number one, or in this case, pick number two, since we already know about pick number one. And speaking of him, interesting story that Caleb Williams tells on the Pivot podcast about the moment he realized the Bears had traded Justin Fields. Good stuff. We'll hear from the presumptive number one overall pick. I suppose there's always a chance something could change between now and 7:05 p.m. Central Time on Thursday when the Bears are likely to make their first pick. Actually, we probably should leave more time for Roger Goodell to get booed and for him to have his moment in the spotlight. You know, he really enjoys all the attention. This is his time to shine, let's be honest.
There you go. We are thrilled to be back here in Philadelphia.
They're moving it around. That's another major piece of why the draft buzz continues to grow, because it's being moved around to so many different cities, sharing the love, if you will, spreading the wealth. Oh, and I do mean wealth literally. I'm excited. I look forward to it. I don't generally watch deep into the draft. I look more for the analysis and the headlines, and I'll go back and look at what individual teams did, but I don't sit and watch every pick over the weekend. If you do, I am very impressed. I don't do that for any draft, to be fair. But this first round, I watch more of the NFL first round than I do any other draft. Also, side note, I wouldn't watch a schedule release if, well, maybe if somebody paid me, but otherwise, no. You catch me up after the fact. I actually think I'm on vacation still. I could be wrong. I'll have to look for the specific date of said schedule release. But Caleb Williams, number one, who will go number two? Will the Commanders even pick second in this NFL draft? What do the Patriots do? Will we see the Chargers trade down? Or will we see the Giants back up, allow one of the teams like the Vikings, the Broncos, the Raiders to have that pick at number six? At a premium, of course. That's what we heard from Joe Shane. Was it 2 weeks ago, last week? The weeks all blend together. He said, if you're trying to move up to draft a quarterback, beware. You got to pay a little extra for that. There's a little extra mustard required on that sandwich. I could eat a sandwich. It's After Hours with... Jay could always eat sandwiches. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Oh, crap. There we go again. Oopsie. It just comes out. I'm not thinking about it because it's been second nature for almost 12 years.
It's still early in the game.
If I don't think about it, I say the wrong thing. It's still early in the game. The jury's still out on whether or not we're keeping it. No, that's actually not true. And way above our pay grade.
Yeah, I think it's here to stay.
No one asked us first.
Did not vote for it. No.
It's really funny, though. I kind of feel like one of those sports franchises that we talked about last week, who all of a sudden is in a new city with a new name. And people are very confused. I'm still getting listeners who are finding us on social media saying, where do I find your new show? Where do I find your new network? Not realizing that all we did was, and by we, I just mean the collective company. All we did was change the name. Nothing else changed.
Everything is exactly the same.
I've told people over and over, that's it. It's not a new show or a new network. We're the same place. Same
lineup.
Yeah, same show, same hosts, same producers. Not the same boss. He's new, but I don't think he has anything to do with the name. In fact, they purposely did the name first before they introduced the new boss.
That's true. That was a good move.
Our phone number is 855-212-4227. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, too. Tonight, what do you want your team to do with its draft picks? What do you want your team to do in the NFL draft? Not what does your team need, because that's kind of boring. What do you want your team to do in the NFL draft? Starting with Thursday, of course. Although it'd kind of be fun to double down or to hit you with a double whammy. How much of the draft will you watch? We kind of did a question like this for the WNBA draft, but I think it was after the fact. We questioned people about their consumption of the Caitlin Clark draft, the Angel Reese draft, the Camila Cardoso draft. Cameron Brink. The number two pick, Cameron Brink draft. How much did you watch after Caitlin Clark was the question. This one's more about how much will you watch. There's some pretty entertaining series that'll be playing out. Games three, two and three. No, three. I think they're all threes. I could be wrong. There might be a couple of twos in there. We've got both hoops and hockey that will continue, plus baseball for those of you who never miss a game unless it's on streaming because you refuse to watch a game on streaming. How much of this NFL draft will you watch? But what do you want your team to do? I can't wait to hear from Cowboys fans. I feel like they're going to tell me the Cowboys need to draft a quarterback. Sorry, guys. Jerry Jones has continued to throw his support behind Dak Prescott. And I got to tell you, why don't you wait until his next really terrible season before you bring back that hot take, quote unquote? He was an MVP candidate last year. For a while, he was an MVP favorite. Anywho.
If something should happen to Dak.
Nothing's going to happen to Dak. Don't be trying to start rumors, Producer Jay. Taking words from Jerry Jones out of context.
It was very cryptic.
Although considering what he said about the number 24 pick, I don't know if we can bring back this. You want to talk about cryptic. We still can't figure out what Jerry Jones is talking about. Like Mike Tomlin, I think he's fooling with us. I actually think Jerry Jones is screwing with us when he tells us that it's great for the Cowboys to be picking number 24.
There's a very reason why we're 24th out of 32 teams draft that we get to pick a player this time. Because we were the 24th best in the NFL, according to the rules. And so we get to pick, everybody gets to pick before us up to 24.
If you are one of those people who are not active listening, you're just kind of background noise with Jerry Jones, does it dawn on you that he completely messed that up? Or are there Cowboys fans who are like, yep, we were 24th best in the NFL.
We were the 24th best in the NFL.
That makes me laugh. I know he didn't mean it, but honestly, I have no clue what he's talking about. I'm going to assume either A, he's screwing with us and just being being someone who's not giving you any intel, or B, there's more to that that we just don't have, because first of all, it's wrong. And second of all, duh. Of course there's a reason you're drafting 24. I could have lived the rest of my life never hearing that information from Jerry Jones, and I would have been fine.
Everybody gets picked before us up to 24.
Duh!
He's onto something.
I don't get it. I feel like I'm missing some very valuable information. Did someone edit that? You did that, Producer Jay, didn't you? You took part of that Jerry Jones quote and you pieced it together. You took out the middle, took out the innards, if you will, and we're not actually hearing the whole quote.
No doctoring here. That is the quote. That is the cut.
Not sure how I feel about that. I feel like it would actually be better if you had doctored the bite.
Probably, but unfortunately, no.
There are 24 teams, which is actually not true either. There's a whole lot of teams drafting before us at 24. And somehow that's supposed to be why the Cowboys are in a great position, because every other team before them gets to go?
Yeah, that's right.
Also, does he think we just showed up on the planet Earth yesterday? Are you talking to aliens from another planet and explaining how the draft works?
Get me some oxygen.
As I look up, J.J. McCarthy is hamming it up for the camera. Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft, number 185, maybe even more than that. of the day. They're going through it on the NFL Network, and J.J. McCarthy superimposed over the top of Daniel's production. That's all shop talk. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Yeah, yeah, yeah. On our Facebook page. I do it because you never know who might be tuning in for the first time. I was just talking to my students about the social media element, the digital takeover. Not that you want to allow it to become more important than your actual show, which I think some people do, put more effort into social than they do into their show. But speaking of the draft, have you missed my conversation with Believe analyst Joe DeLeon? He joined us, not quite this time last night, but roughly 24 hours ago. And we talked about the top debate before round one, how the quarterbacks come off the board, how many trades he's looking for, the most value. Oh, we did not ignore the defensive guys. And his personal insight from the movie Draft Day. Anyway, that link is up on both Twitter and Facebook if you want some final Cliff Note prep so you sound really smart on Thursday as we get into the NFL draft. Speaking of guests, I'm over the moon excited about my conversation with Big East Commissioner, Naismith Basketball Hall of Famer, former WNBA president, and the first ever female president of USA Basketball. Does that give it away? Val Ackerman. Spoke to her on Wednesday afternoon. She was generous, insightful, thoughtful, even funny. I caught her off guard at the end of our conversation. Wait until you hear what I asked her. She's awesome. I crossed paths with her in the past when I was traveling with the Big East to do play-by-play on TV. And I've done a bunch of Big East basketball games over the course of my career. But not since the Big East went through what some would call a rebuild. Conference realignment hit the Big East hard. And they went from being one of the top power conferences in college sports to being one without football. That would almost be sudden death. Well, not quite as sudden as the Stanley Cup playoffs, but that would have spelled sudden death in the past. And maybe it would for any other conference. There are conferences out there that wouldn't dream of trying to go it without football. But the Big East has. And boy, did UConn return at just the right time. So I talked to Val about the skyrocketing interest in women's sports, including Caitlin Clark. She brought up Caitlin. I didn't, although I probably would have. The UConn men going back-to-back. The realignment. I also asked Val, will the Big East consider adding more schools? You'll hear that conversation with Val on tonight's show. Really proud of it. Can't wait to share it. And my sincere thanks to Val and to the Big East for making her available earlier on Wednesday. All right, we've got our show question up. What do you want your team to do in the NFL draft? Do you want your team to trade up? Do you want your team to trade down? All things being equal, if you were in charge of the war room, what do you want your team to do in the draft? And how much will you pay attention? Will you watch the whole damn thing? The whole fam-damly? Or will you watch just the first round? My vacation comes right after the NFL draft. I will readily admit there were times in the past, the Johnny Manziel draft, I wanted nothing to do with that draft. I was on vacation during that draft. Actually, I think I might have missed the Baker Mayfield draft as well. Darn it. I'd have to go back and remember, but sometimes I feel like it's too much. We can't miss you, NFL, if you never go away. All right, coming up next, the Miami Heat. Not dead yet, in case you thought so. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Boy, a bucket of meat big here for Miami. Here's Tyler. Bounce pass to Bam. Free throw line jumper. Adebayo, 8 of 11, 90-83, 8-5-7. Bam with the rock, working on Horford, mid post, left side, gets it to the bottom of the circle, jumper, got it. I mean, Bam, has he, on his makes, has he got anything but just netters? Right side of the arc. Bam the screen, gets it to Caleb, he'll fire a three. He makes the three from the left side of the arc, his fifth make in six tries from the land of milk and honey. He has 21. Tyler to drive, right side, up over Porzingis, kissed him, he has 20. Heat up 107-96, 2:15 remains.
Honestly, I thought we generated the same looks in the first game. Just guys, including myself, weren't taking them. And, you know, the talk amongst the team was to just be aggressive, take the open shots. If they give it to us, you know, don't hesitate, let it go.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of one Tyler Hero in 39 minutes, 24 points, and 14 assists. He drew a lot of attention on the defensive end from the Celtics and then would set up his teammates. And boy, they were hitting shots like nobody's business. There will be no Jimmy Butler in this series. He's out for at least this series. They're not super hopeful that he'll be returning at all. Of course, they have to get through the Celtics before that becomes a challenge. But every other starter in double figures in this game two in Boston. And it was, yeah, it was pretty interesting to hear the crowd just go dead. Bob Kraft was courtside, by the way. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Largest lead by the Heat was 12. So it was a good back and forth in the first half. If I remember correctly, the Celtics only led by 3 at the break. And then there was a 15-3 push by the Heat in which you had Caleb Martin hitting shots, Tyler Hero hitting shots. Bam Adebayo, he remains aggressive. This is a team that has an identity and a formula. And I don't want to say it's plug and play when it comes to the various members of the Heat, because that's not exactly true. Jimmy Butler's a unique player. Not only does he have heart and spirit along the lines of, say, a Draymond Green, he will fight you. And he gets everyone else to come along with that intensity and that energy. So they do miss him. He's a terrific defender, obviously can score a variety of ways. But the identity of this team does not change. Now, if they could get a couple more All-Stars, even one more All-Star, remember how badly they wanted Damian Lillard on their team? They're still missing another star, which is why they seem stuck in the same spot in the East every single season. In fact, Miami Heat fans may feel a little deja vu, not just because they're facing the Celtics in what I think is the fourth time in 5 years in the playoffs, but because they had to come through the play-in tournament, they had to beat the Bulls, now they're the 8th seed again. They need more star power. They need another really good player alongside Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. But right now, Caleb Martin, Jaime Jaquez didn't shoot well in this game, but played 31 minutes. Off the bench, they got a couple of guys who contribute, like Highsmith and Wright. But it really is the formula, the identity. It's tough. It's physical. It's beat up your opponent as much as you can get away with. It's shoot the three, of course, to try to open things up, swing the ball around, but also they'll get inside and they'll bang. A double-double for Bam with 21 points and 10 rebounds. And everybody likes to hit the boards. I mean, that's part of who they are. The largest lead was 12 in the second half, and every time the Celtics would reel them in and get within 5 or 6 or 7, the Heat would hit another big three. So let's be honest. When Tyler Hero says, I felt like we had all these same shots in the first game, we just weren't hitting them. There's some element of truth to that. Remember, it was the Celtics who were lights out from beyond the arc in the opener. The Heat go 23 of 43 from downtown. And it really was about keeping that focus and maintaining the positive energy despite the blowout loss in game one.
When you have, you know, some younger players, you know, you just have to constantly remind them that one game is one game. Just like this win, it's just one win. Series are potentially long and they're tough. And you have to stay emotionally and mentally, you know, stable, you know, throughout all of it. You just have to focus on competing at a high level together, doing things that lead to winning. You know, keeping your emotions in check, which all of it's easier said than done. But it was a very good response just from the connectivity, the efforts, all of that. And then, you know, we also made some shots.
For us, we've been doubted a lot through our playoff runs. You know, as people saying, we couldn't do a lot of stuff that we did. So for me and my team, it's like, why lose belief now? Backs against a wall, everybody always against us. Use it as fuel. You know, a lot of people seem to think we're going to buy into what they say of we can't get it done and make it seep into our locker room. And it's different. Our guys believe that we can win. You know, we get in between those lines. We make it about basketball. We don't make it about schemes. We don't make it about this guy and that guy. We make it about mano a mano, getting that cage fight, and let's hoop.
May or may not be true what Bam says, that everybody's against us, but he's got a point. There aren't a whole lot of people every single year. It's like experts, analysts, fans don't learn their lessons. The Heat have a formula that works in the playoffs. Now, as I say, they could use another star. But this is a team that is built for the postseason. And while I'm sure Eric Spoelstra wouldn't mind a road that didn't include going through the play-in tournament, didn't include fighting, scratching, clawing for every last game and playoff spot all the way through the season, he wouldn't change who they are. This is why they can catch a team like Boston. This is why they can battle the Celtics all the way through, tooth and nail. And while they might get blown out in a couple of these games, you know they're not going to go away. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As for the Celtics, you know what? This happened all season long, but really closer to the end of the year when they were so far out in front of the Eastern Conference that they didn't have a whole lot of incentive to play hard. And I'm not saying they went out there and loafed it, but they weren't going to get bothered by a loss. It's that same post-game mentality. Well, we weren't going to go 16-0 in these playoffs. It doesn't seem like losses bother them at all. And I guess there's something to be said for staying even keel. But almost like they talk down to people when they're asked about losing. Like Jason Tatum, he does get salty in the playoffs, which is, he gets salty all the time. But, hey, we weren't thinking we were going to sweep them.
We knew it wasn't going to be easy. That's a lot of history between these two franchises, especially recently. Regardless of seeding or who's in or who's out, it's the playoffs, and especially with that team, you know, it's never going to go how people expect it to go. And that's the beauty of being in the playoffs and playing at the highest level. It's part of it. You know, we lost the game, and we got a chance to play again on Saturday. So it should be another fun one.
To think you're going to go through a playoff series, however long it lasts, and have – I mean, I you know – it's unfortunate that losing a game is adversity, I would say. It's just the nature of the playoffs is adverse itself. So to think that you're not going to have ups and downs throughout a run, you know, you're not being realistic. So you just have to go back and look at what we did well and where we didn't, and then, you know, figure out the areas that we can improve upon, you know?
We weren't going to go 16-0. Okay. I do agree with Joe Mazzulla. And I guess Jason Tatum wasn't as salty as I was maybe injecting some salt in there. He's right about the Heat. And there are people who said the Celtics would sweep. But the difference, and we talked about this last year as well, the difference with a team like Miami versus Boston's path is that Miami did have to remain in fight, fight, fight mode. Whereas Boston's been on cruise control for weeks, mostly just not wanting to get hurt, trying to get healthy before the playoffs, because there wasn't a whole lot otherwise to play for. Freaking 14-game lead in the Eastern Conference. That's, there's no one around to push you. You got to push yourselves. Now, that's what winners do, and they came out like a house on fire in the opener. And so now you've kind of got this Heat fight back, which is, again, part of their DNA. And they shot really well from beyond the arc. So we'll see. Which team shoots better from three in game three? It can't come down to that. Please, let's not have it come down to that. We're asking you on both Twitter and Facebook about not the needs of your NFL team, but what you want them to do with the draft. And so you can find us on either Twitter at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page named after the show. Excited to share our conversation. Well, my conversation, but our conversation. Me and Big East Commissioner Val Ackerman. She was great. Gosh, as I was doing my research, and I know Val, I have crossed paths with Val before, and she's so well known in basketball circles and college sports circles. Not only is she a Hall of Famer, but she has a list of lifetime achievement awards and honors as long as my arm. You want to talk about a woman who is a pioneer and just incredibly driven, but also doesn't feel the need to attract all the attention to herself. It's amazing what she's accomplished. And yeah, it's well known if you have been around the NBA, the WNBA, but she's been a pioneer for years. It's awesome to talk to her. I looked down at my notes just now and looking for what I want to tease next. And I wrote with a pen that's running out of ink, no butler in this series. But as I look down, it appears to be no butter in this series.
No butter would be a problem.
I do like no butter.
Bread and butter.
Yeah, you gotta have butter.
I love butter. And not fake butter, the kind of sticks to your insides. No, actual real butter.
Okay,
so I have to tell you something really funny, Marco. Mm-hmm. I told Jay this earlier. I was listening, and maybe we'll have to talk about it more next hour, but I was listening to the Toronto Maple Leafs Boston Bruins game mm-hmm. on the radio. So Celtics Heat finished up. You got it? Oh my gosh. Okay, so I was listening to Maple Leafs radio. Mm-hmm. Not that I dislike Bruins. I go back and forth. And the Maple Leafs were looking to try to get the equalizer. It was late third period. And they are, well, they're coming close. They hit the post a couple times, right? But they were trailing. And their play-by-play announcer, someone can find me on Twitter and tell me who he is. Oh, Jay's going to write it down. Jim Bowen. Okay.
Joe Bowen?
Sorry, it's Joe.
Oh, great. Thanks, Jay.
Joe, definitely Joe.
This is why I don't ever trust producers. So, anyway, Joe, Mr. Bowen. I should have just gone with Mr. Bowen. He's been there forever. I've heard his voice forever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he starts ripping the fans. Ripping them. You're going to want to, like, pass this on to the other peeps in the building. Mm-hmm. Because he is so angry that they're not all up on their feet. I mean, I'm not sure I've ever heard a play-by-play announcer blast the fans like this before, but producer Jay actually went back and found it for me after I told him about it.
I'm sorry, but if you came to the game tonight and with a face-off with the goalie out and you weren't on your feet in this building, that's an embarrassment. And that, I just cannot believe that that's what went on here. I just... No wonder they don't win on home ice, because there is the home ice advantage. I'm really upset by that, Jimmy. I'm sorry. But that's just embarrassing.
Well, I mean, I know what you're saying.
Toronto audience, right?
Yeah, but I still don't know if we can pin it on the crowd.
No. I understand that. Yeah. I understand that. And that's fair.
But you're right. Here's a moment where you can
really be an impactful group.
Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph. And Marco, I'm listening to this and I thought, wait, did I just hear him wrong? This is why they don't win at home, he says. And poor Jim is stuttering around like,
Yeah, he didn't want that conversation at all.
I don't think we can really pin it on the fans that they don't win at home. But yeah, he was not having it. I mean, he was so angry, sort of apologized, but just was done holding back.
I mean, and this was at the point of the game, and if I'm not mistaken, it was 3-2, was late,
yes.
And they had just taken a penalty.
Right.
So at that point now, you're pretty much done because you can't get the extra man on the ice. You're going to have to pull the goalie.
They'd pulled the goalie once. Yeah.
Now you're on the penalty kill, basically, to maybe try to make it 5-on-5 just to pull the goal. Like, now you're stuck. Now you got a minute 20 left. The odds of you winning this game are slim to none. So I think that's where the frustration comes out, where you know the game is over, and now in this last couple of minutes, and this is not the first time he's done this with the Maple Leafs crowd.
Oh.
I went back. He actually did this last year during the regular season. I want to say it was in April, maybe the last game of the regular season or the first game of the playoffs, where he was kind of like, what are you doing? Get up off your feet. Where are we going? Why aren't we into this?
But that's just embarrassing.
And he had the same feel here. And to be honest, going back and trying to listen to some of this stuff, you don't hear the crowd going nuts.
Mm-mm.
And normally, I know you're trailing, but they were buzzing. They had chances. They had opportunities.
Exactly.
And the crowd was almost waiting for it to go sour. That's not good. That's not good for home ice, because that does bring there's a tension. Home court, home ice, home field can be a lift. It can also be a detriment if your crowd's not behind you and they've turned on you.
True.
And when they turn on you or when they're quiet, when they're supposed to be into it, it feels like, what do we do? Why? Where are we? And that's a problem.
I agree with that. At the same time, I don't know that it's his position to be lambasting them. However, on Leafs Radio, you've been there a long time. Maybe you just kind of feel like that's something you can do.
I don't know how long he's been doing it. I know it's a long, long time. I think I saw he's 73. At some point, you just get to the rear, I don't care. What are you going to do to me?
I just cannot believe.
And I think we've gotten there with Joe Bowen. I don't know the man. I think we got to the point of, so what are you going to do? You're going to tell me I can't say this? Okay. Like, I'm going to say what I want to say. I think he's gotten past the, I don't care.
Right.
So he was, that's raw. That's pure emotion. That's how he feels.
Had a chance to keep the home ice advantage, but didn't do it after winning game two with the late Austin Matthews goal. So I'm sure the frustration, but still, I was taken off guard. I had not heard anyone ever say something like that before.
And granted, too, I mean, the Maple Leafs, I know last year you finally broke the string of winning a playoffs. You've had nothing but disappointment for so many years, which would, I'm
Maybe
sure a lot
why.
Of the fans would say, hey, that's the reason why we're waiting yep. for it to go sour, because we never find a way to win these games. I get it. But I think Joe Bowen's feeling like, you're here. Why the hell did you come here if you're not ready to give all you've got? You want to complain on the way out the door after they lose? No problem. But while the game's still going, you still got to try to root for your team. No? Try to help them out.
All right, Maple Leafs fans.
I mean, I know what you're saying.
He stuttered. I felt uncomfortable for him.
Nothing
it was
to do with
so
it.
Funny. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, if you're a Maple Leafs fan, what do you think of that? Also on our Facebook page. And then what do you want your team to do in its war room come Thursday night?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Back of the net. Samsonov's lost his stick. Marchand shoots. He scores! Brad Marchand! Only Cam Neely has scored more playoff goals than that guy. He makes it 3-2 Bruins. Near side, Marchand ties up for two. Here's Pastrnak. He shoots it off the side of the net. Marchand shoots. He scores! Into the empty net. Oh, the Bruins had a couple of chances, but the captain able to scoop it up. He buries it. His second of the third period, and the Bruins up 4-2 here in game three.
I thought it was good. You know, we stuck with it all game. It wasn't always pretty. And I said it the other day, they're coming very hard. They're playing very physical. I thought we elevated to another level from where we've been at the first couple games. You know, it was great that it paid off.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Brad Marchand on a big win to steal back that home ice advantage and the 2-1 series lead in the critical, crucial, always pivotal game three in a tie series. Of course, we could apply those same things to game five. We'll see whether or not the Maple Leafs rally. And Marchand broke the tie midway through the third, as you hear with Judd Surratt on Bruins Radio. That preceded the comments from Joe Bowen on Maple Leafs Radio, and I just happened to be listening. I didn't realize that this was a thing for him, but just happened to precede his comments that this is why the Maple Leafs don't win at home, because they're sitting on their hands, they're not standing up, they're not rallying behind the team. Dave is listening in Ontario. Dave, welcome to After Hours.
Well, thanks for taking my call, Amy.
Sure.
I totally agree with Joe Bowen. A lot of the times, if you can get a ticket to see the Maple Leafs, most of the people are sitting on their hands. It's almost like it's a mausoleum in there sometimes.
Why?
Well, because Maple Leaf tickets are so hard to get. A lot of the people are there just to be seen and say they got Maple Leaf tickets, and they really don't care.
Ah, that sounds like the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, except it's probably just as hard to get decent Maple Leaf tickets as it is to get a Super Bowl ticket.
Well, I know that's the case for Madison Square Garden with the Knicks. However, those fans make a ton of noise even when their team stinks, so it's kind of the opposite.
Yeah, it is, but the Maple Leaf fans just, well, if they're fans, the Maple Leaf people there just don't want to make any noise and can't be bothered to put any effort into it. Usually the people up in the nosebleed sections are making noises, and Joe Bowen makes more noise than the rest of the crowd put together. He's a dyed-in-the-wool Maple Leaf fan forever.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's too bad because I know there are a lot of Maple Leafs fans who would make noise if they were in the building, but I understand what you're saying. It's not a crowd that can make a lot of noise, or that I guess that would make a lot of noise. It's actually the diehard fans, the ones that live and die, that would support their team. They're actually not in the building. So that makes sense. Dave, I hope that changes. Thank you so much for your phone call.
Oh, no problem.
I dislike that so much when a franchise prices out its fan base that lives and dies with every win and that is so desperate to see this team succeed, or really any team, their team succeed, that they would do anything. They would make a ton of noise. They would enjoy being there, be a part. Hey, it would really lift the guys on the ice. That's the whole idea behind having the home ice or the home field advantage. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.